1420 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. You know our email address by now, capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. Please send us some feedback. So it is the holiday season. It's supposed to be a time to feel merry, a time to spend enjoying with your family. But sometimes that's not really what happens, and stress and even personal conflicts can spring up. What's the best way to avoid this? Well, to find out, I'm joined by author, facilitator, and behavioral expert Beverly Flaxington. Her latest book, Understanding Other People, The 5 Secrets to Human Behavior. Her website, understandingotherpeople.com. Welcome to the program, Beverly.
Thank you, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
You know, sometimes having a few drinks, eating some food, and just making it through a family gathering without a major blow-up can seem like a successful experience. Do we generally underestimate the stresses associated with the annual family gatherings like Christmas?
Well, I think that we do. It's a combination, Mike. I think that we underestimate it, as well as we go into it with these false expectations. You know, if my family repeatedly does something that I find difficult or is hard for me to be around, you know, it's probably not going to change this year. And so what we tend to do is go into it thinking that everything is going to change and it's going to be this wonderful, you know, family meal around the table. And then we don't get what we expect and we're so disappointed.
Is just being polite, avoiding heated topics, is that kind of a good approach to dealing with family on the holidays?
Well, yeah. So my point to people is that, you know, you want to plan going into it. I mean, if you know that your Uncle John is, you know, a political junkie and he happens to be on the other side of the table from where you sit, you don't engage him in those discussions. You know, ask Uncle John a million other questions about anything except for politics. Or you know that, you know, Aunt Doris picks on you because she doesn't like your career choice or your significant other. Again, you know, be prepared to have a way to deal with her, to interact with her. We don't take any opportunity to prepare in advance so that we feel like we have some choices. We feel like we're just getting pulled around by people and not having the opportunity to respond in a way that we feel good about, but rather just respond by rote. And that's what leaves us feeling, oh, at the end of the dinner, you know, so disappointed in the evening and in ourselves.
Your book is titled Understanding Other People. It sounds like one of the biggest challenges there really are out there. What are the key things that we typically misunderstand when it comes to dealing with others?
Well, one of the key things, Mike, is that, you know, when other people are behaving in a way that we find distasteful, many times what's underneath it is just fundamental differences between us. It can be communication differences. Maybe I'm a loud and, you know, outgoing, upbeat person, and the person I'm engaging with is much more reserved, much more quiet. You know, they see me as overly boisterous. I see them as, you know, stick in the mud. So what we tend to do is, with these communication differences, we label other people and we use that as an opportunity to kind of, you know, separate as if they're doing something to us as opposed to just seeing it as differences. Other thing is that we have different values, Mike, different things that we think are important. And this is how, you know, we get into these debates where, you know, what's really important are, you know, cutting taxes. No, what's really important is, you know, helping the homeless. And so the problem is we're fighting about values and we're not going to be able to get anywhere because those are deeply entrenched. And, you know, we have the values we have. We spend all this energy trying to convince other people. So much of what's going on is those differences, communication differences and differences about what I care about.
I'm talking to Beverly Flaxington, author, facilitator, and behavioral expert. Her latest book, Understanding Other People, The 5 Secrets to Human Behavior. So, of course, Beverly, I need to ask you about these secrets. I love secrets. Would you be willing to reveal at least a few of them?
Oh, I would be happy to, Mike. Secret number one, I call, it's all about me. And that has to do with the fact that we do see the world through our own, what I call filters. My past experiences, what I think is important, how somebody has treated me. I go into an exchange with someone else with my filters in place. And so if you ever have the situation where, you know, somebody says something and you might respond and feel that it was offensive or that person was disrespecting you, or and then come to find out, not at all. That just happens to be the way that they talk about a certain thing. So the problem is that we react, not understanding that it's our filters that are getting in the way.
Okay, can I get another one?
Second secret is, I call it, behavioral styles come between us. Now, what is what I was referring to a little bit earlier, which is around the way that we communicate. Behavioral styles are things like, you know, are you fast-paced? Are you slow-paced? Are you more of, I have to think about something and process it rather than I react really quickly? Are you a people person? You know, for many people do not get energized by being around others. In fact, they get drained. And they're going into these family events and just feeling like, I need some alone time. And this is all behavioral style. And I call it, in a way, as if we're speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. Because if my style is one way and yours is another, it really is as if I'm speaking a language you don't understand and you one that I don't.
Well, I have to address this because I agree with that so much, that you find these very different personalities, people that seem to just get energized and others that are drained. And sometimes it seems that those that are getting drained are the ones that are accommodating everybody around them. And maybe some of these concepts that you're even talking about, they're trying to anticipate and kind of help others out and make smooth interactions.
I love the word that you used, because that is one of the words we use for folks who are, you know, very strong on this. We call them scales, different scales of behavior, but people who do tend to be kind of this reserved, you know, more of like the backbone, accommodation, and they will really in some ways suck it up. They'll accommodate, they'll smile, but all of the time it's really pulling on them and it's draining them, and they can sometimes then feel a bit resentful because I've accommodated too much and I don't want to do that again this year. So those styles are at work, and again, we're not aware of them. We think we're having the conversation over whatever we're talking about, but what's also going on is the backdrop, you know, what's going on behind the words we're using is the way that we're saying them and how that's impacting the other person's ability to understand what I really mean.
That's just a personality type, essentially. I'm guessing in general, though, those are things that you can't really change about yourself. You're either one way or the other.
The research does show that for the most part, this is something that's fixed in us. We don't change it, but we do make adaptations. And this is another thing that goes on a lot during the holidays. You know, all of us, in certain circumstances, my natural style, the way I communicate, is going to work very well for me. Other times, it's not, based on the person I'm interacting with, the audience. But if you think about it, in a family environment, many of us have to go and, in some ways, put a bit of a mask on, act a little bit differently than we might if we felt more comfortable. And this drains us, and this does cause us stress. And this is another thing that's going on throughout this holiday season that we're not even aware of, when we feel like, why does, you know, spending time with my family make me so tired?
Right. Well, and listening, for some reason, I want to bring this up, but it seems that many people really don't listen, and it seems like that's the biggest part of trying to understand somebody, right? You have to actually cue into what they're saying. Are there good ways to kind of begin to listen to others if that's something you're not especially good at?
Gosh, yeah. So a couple things. What we'll tend to often do, the way we think we should engage with people is, you know, Mike, if you told me a story and we're getting together at the holidays about some trip that you took, and you're excited about the trip and you want to share, what most of us will tend to do is I then launch in and start to tell you about my best trip that I ever took. And in some ways, I'm pulling the conversation away and I'm putting it back to me. So one of the things is to really stay present, stay focused a little bit. If you're telling me about your vacation, to really give you the respect and the courtesy, let me ask you questions about your vacation. Why did you choose to go there? Why was it the... So instead of our feeling as though the way to engage is, let me tell you a story about me, it's really asking you story, you know, questions about your story. I want you to expand more on your story, number one. Number two is doing what we call reflective listening. So you're telling me about your boss at work, and instead of just, oh yeah, I know, I've had a boss like that, for me to start to ask you, well, what is it about him that's so bothersome? Why do you think she talks to you like that? Or are you thinking about, you know, maybe you could engage with her differently? It's being able to go back and forth. You know, I've heard what you're saying, and I want to engage with you about what you're talking about, not turn it back on to me. We all have a tendency to then pull the story back to us. Nothing feels better, and nothing is going to win you in more people's graces than staying focused on whatever it is that they want to talk about, asking questions to really understand more deeply what their experience is.
Well, there's some really good advice. Author, facilitator, and behavioral expert Beverly Flaxington, her latest book, Understanding Other People, The 5 Secrets to Human Behavior, and her website is understandingotherpeople.com. Beverly, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, you were a pleasure, Mike, and best of luck through the holiday season.
Indeed, you too. And we will be right back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.